Hey, friends. Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Christy. We are two sisters who love Jesus, and we are committed to walking out our faith one step at a time. Welcome back to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. Thank you for choosing to join in on the podcast and walk alongside us today. Kelly and I started the new year with a new awareness for what walking with a game plan might look like for us personally, for this podcast, and where God might be leading us in this season. As we wrap up the first couple weeks of the new year, we continue to seek God for His plans every single day so that we can walk out our best game plan every single day He chooses to give us. We praise God for the people He has already brought onto the podcast to encourage us in this season. I have walked out of the studio, Kelly, almost every week, just grateful for another opportunity, an opportunity to sit across from you, share about our faith and what God is teaching us through the highs in this life, but also the lows. Our greatest prayer for you, our listeners, is that you too are encouraged and inspired to see that your story is waiting to be heard too, and for glory to be given to the one who deserves it all.
That's right, Chris. And never have I been more certain of God's calling and leading in my life than I am right now. The word dwell has been more of a life source to me than just a word for the new year. I've seen God reveal Himself to me in so many ways. Christy, the Bible study we started recently has just challenged me to listen to God speak more than I have before. There's no shortcuts. There's no quick answers. There's just time and encouragement to listen for God to speak and to make sure that I know and am aware of His still small voice. We've had opportunities to experience Him and the guests we've had, the opportunities we've had to meet new people and to be challenged. And it's just exciting to see God at work. And I'm so thankful to have listened to His voice when He said, I want to spend more time with you. Will you trust me and give me time and space to speak to you?
That's so good, Kelly. Me too. Well, this season, we've been talking about the game plan, and we have spent some time dissecting the game plan, so to speak, just, you know, trying to relate the game plan to life. And we've had some amazing coaches in our lives as we look back over, you know, real coaches in sports. We've had some amazing coaches. But I just am so thankful, and I praise God that there is one who is perfect, who knows exactly the skill set of each of us, His players, and He knows every detail about each one of us, down to the number of hairs on our head.
That's right.
There's not another coach like that. God knows us and loves us and has created us for such a time as this, but just also with a perfect plan and purpose. We both have spent some time with our coach this week, and we thought maybe today could be considered more of like a film day. So we just want to take today to share with you what God's been showing us, what He's teaching us, and we pray that you are encouraged. As far as film day might go for an athlete, just listen to this definition. On film day, athletes are usually studying film by watching sports practices and playing some sport video games, which allows the athlete to process information and relay it through multiple resources, especially play. And as Kelly, as I was, you know, studying like, what would a film day look like for us? I just thought of a few things. And so today, we are just going to look back at what we've done this week. And film day for us looks like studying God's word, spending time with God, like you've already talked about, that just in a quiet place, a quiet space to give him the time to speak to us, making God a higher priority than anything else throughout my day, loving others, serving others, meeting the needs of others around me, and then especially pray. So those are just maybe what a Christian film day or reflect day might look like. So thank y'all for joining us.
Yeah, and I don't know if, Christy, you can remember back to our days of playing basketball at Somerville High School. And film day, we might be in the locker room or our team would get together. And I can remember the smell right. of the locker room,
right.
the time where our coach was real serious and purposeful about watching a video that was intended to gear us up to be successful in the game. And we would watch video of the upcoming opponent,
right.
and we would talk about strategies to how we could be victorious mm-hmm. against the opponent, and just look at what they were good at and what we needed to change to meet this new team. And it just made me think of our walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. Like, we've had things happen this week and we can look back on and we can think, okay, God, the enemy tried to get me.
Right.
He tried to defeat me. And what am I going to do next time to prepare so that I'll stand firm
Good.
The next time? And I thought of 1 Peter 5:8, and just a great verse.
Well, let me read that.
Okay.
It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
Amen. And so on film day, when we were in high school watching that, we were preparing for the opponent. And Christy, in life, we are preparing to invite God in, to listen to his Holy Spirit, so we can resist the enemy.
Right.
And just one more verse that I think of we might talk about in a little while is just submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So just another part of being aware that the enemy's prowling, but we have a choice to resist him.
And we serve a victorious God. Yeah. Our coach, our God, is victorious.
That's right. So we look forward to, when we get back from the break, just sharing a little more about what our film day looked like this week. Welcome back. We're so glad you're with us. And I just wanted to start out this second half of our podcast by just sharing a real life story that happened this week. I had the opportunity to take Ben to a golf tournament he was in. And the weather, looking out the window, the weather looked beautiful. It was sunny. I was so excited. I got to take him. I would ride in a cart. It looked beautiful. But Chris, when we got outside and we were out in the wind and the cold, I just quickly realized how fooled I had been right. by looking out the window thinking it was going to be beautiful. But when I got out there, I was not prepared for how cold and windy it was. So,
Ben, which may be shocking for you, but you're always cold.
True. I am always cold. So Ben started this round of golf. He played fantastic. The first nine holes, he played so well. We were all smiles. I even called Eric and said, Ben's playing so solid. I was so happy for him. He was so excited. But then we turned the corner for the back nine. And to be honest, the later it got, the windier it got, the colder it got, and the circumstances outside, it was hard. It was hard to play golf. But Ben just began to fall apart in his play. And, you know, I'm his mom on the sideline thinking, just get it together. It's okay. Shake it off. Let's move on to the next hole. Shake it off. He could not shake it off. He was just mad at himself. He was speaking negative words about how I'm so bad. I can't hit a good shot. This is terrible. And that went on for several holes. And I'm sitting in the cart watching this. And it's like the more negative he gets, the worse he plays. And then I'm getting mad watching him because I'm like, you're going to give away this whole tournament by your attitude right now. Like, let it go and move on and you're fine. And it was just not pretty. And what I could see from the sideline as his mom was that the circumstances were hard for everybody. But what Ben could see was his isolated circumstance of, I'm terrible, I'm no good, I'm not playing good. And he was stuck there and he couldn't get out of that mindset. And so good thing I had some time to ponder, you know, what I was going to say to him, you know, how the ride home would go. And so sure enough, he finished, he turned in his scorecard and we got in the car and began our ride home. And I just said, Ben, I love to watch you play golf. I love to watch you play golf, whether you shoot par or whether you shoot 100. I love to watch you play. But what I saw today was you fell apart because all you could think was how bad you were and how negative your play was. And I said, I just got to ask you some questions about what you're believing in those moments. And so I just started asking him things like, what do you think about yourself when you're not scoring well in golf? What do you think about yourself? He didn't answer, and I wasn't looking really for an answer, but I wanted him to be aware that you're not more valuable if you score better. I don't love you more if your score is better. I sure don't love you more if you win. But for some reason, something deep down in him feels like success, my value, is dependent on how I play. And so as we were talking, and I just assured him, that's not the case with us. I could just see the defensiveness begin to subdue. And, you know, we talk about every single time before a golf tournament, like controlling your emotions, being steady, not getting too high or too low based on your performance. But what I realized is that's not a decision you can white knuckle and in your own strength determine to be better next time. That is something that's happening on the inside that you're believing about your identity through playing. And so we're just talking through that. We're working through that. But Chris, I got to tell you, as I'm having this conversation with Ben, I'm thinking to myself, what about you, Kelly? Is your value more without the tremors? I even have thought multiple times, like, your voice is so bad. Like, it's so broken on that podcast. Like, who would want to listen? I'm just being honest with the lies that you can speak to yourself, that Ben could speak to himself. But I also need to evaluate the lies that I could speak
exactly
over myself.
Exactly. And me too. And yeah. Me too. And, you know, as you were sharing that story about Ben, just being the proud parent on the sideline, just, you know, it doesn't matter if you are scoring great or if you are triple bogey, whatever it is, you as the parent, and as I'm just sitting here watching you and listening to you, like, I could see you as the godly parent that we have in God. Like, he's on the sideline of our game in life, and he loves us. He's created us for such a perfect purpose, and he's never standing on that sideline with his arms crossed, just angry at us because we haven't gotten it right, or we're not, you know, handling our emotions correctly. And so I'm looking at you and I'm so proud of you, Kelly, because you're getting it so right as the parent. But you're right. Like, yeah, we all are struggling with something or dealing with something that we know we might not be handling correctly or super Christian easy or whatever, you know, whatever the right word is. But God knows that, and he loves us, and it's process. And I think that's kind of, as far as this film room goes today, like, those are the things. What I'm recognizing is that Ben needed you in this season after that round of golf to speak life and encouragement into him. Right now, sharing your vulnerability might need somebody like me to say, Kelly, what I see in you is amazing parenting going on. And then, you know, Adriana's sitting right here knowing that maybe there's something I need. Like, that is why community and being a part of a Christian group is so important. I just saw that picture just now, Kelly, and was reminded of it. So thank you for being vulnerable and
And I think just one more thing that goes along with that is learning to confess in the moment what we're believing. So for Ben and I, you know, just confessing, I don't feel as much value when I play bad as when I play good. Confessing that and then just inviting God to step right in the middle of that moment and remind us of what is true. And the same for me, confessing, God, my voice is so broken. I don't like the way it sounds. Confess that. But invite God, but God, you provided this opportunity. You did this. It's not about my voice. It's about you being glorified. So I invite you right in the middle of what makes me fearful to remind me of what's true. And so that's just been super valuable this week as I look back on the film of this past week. And what I can learn is we're all going to have moments of the enemy speaking lies. But in those moments, let's invite God, the Holy Spirit, to be right there. Tell us what's true. Remind us, God, of what you say about me, how much you love me. What did your word say? And that's been huge for me this week.
That is awesome. The verse you shared earlier was James 4, 7 and 8. And it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. You purify your heart and purify your hearts, double-minded. And that's kind of, it doesn't say that, you know, devil, get thee behind me, Satan, devil, not today, say, you know, like all the things that we hear people say. The first part of that scripture says, submit yourselves then to God. That's the first thing we do, is submit to God. Then, you know, resist the devil. Like there's, it's action on our part. God, I need you first. I'm submitted to you. The devil will have to flee because God is a good sovereign God. And the devil's not going to be where Christ is in the story.
Right.
Like he might be amongst it, but if we are submitted to God, we're not going to be focused on those thoughts, those behaviors. We've talked a little bit even in this Keys to Freedom study that we're doing, just behavior modification. That's white knuckling it. That's okay, I can do this. I can do this in my own strength. I'm going to do harder. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to read more scripture. Like that's not how it works. We submit to God and then resist the devil.
Yeah. Just one more verse that really spoke to me is, it is, we do this, it's talking about we're being surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses. And verse 2 is, we do this, and talking about we run with endurance, the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. And that part, like, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. That was not an exciting moment. He endured the cross because of the joy awaiting him. Like, there was deep joy in knowing the hope of what was going to happen, but it was not easy or fun or an exciting, pleasurable,
comfortable
experience. And so I just have to remember that God is perfecting our faith. He initiates that. And the joy comes from the hope of what we know to come. That does not always mean easy. That does not always mean shooting par in the golf tournament or a life without tremors or MS. You know, the joy is the hope of Christ. And that was big, too.
I know we both had a chance this week to listen to a podcast, and I'm going to just share two words that they spoke about that we just resonated with. And so the podcast is Joshua Johnson. The name of the podcast is Shifting Culture Podcast.
Yeah.
And we're just referencing episode 69, if anybody wants to go back and listen to this. But He made a comment on the podcast about two words that we have and use very frequently in our society, and it
and,
is...
And real quick, before you share that, they were asking the guest speaker on this podcast, which his name
Jamie is... Jamie Winship, yes.
They were asking him to reflect back on his 21-year-old self.
That's right.
And if he had any words of wisdom looking back, what would he... say to himself? And this is
so true.
He
and he just said that if there were two, well, first he would just tell himself to relax, rest, don't get so worked up about things. And then he said two words he would take out of his vocabulary were responsibility and expectation. And he went on to say that, you know, there's really those two words are not in Hebrew or Greek in the Bible, but responsibility and expectation were created in the Industrial Revolution when factory workers were put on a line, an assembly line. And so they were a production line, and they were given, this is your responsibility to push out, you know, whatever it is that they were producing. And what that did, responsibility, if you gave responsibility, it can create, you know, that you're not enough. Like, so that word, responsibility, just created that you're not enough. And then when you put a list or an expectation on someone, you immediately create failure. And so it really just made me think, responsibility and expectation. Those are it's very important how we use those words. And like, even if we say, we were talking earlier today just about expectations on our kids or what we, you know, these are your responsibilities. But if we're not explaining the reasoning behind those responsibilities or working it or talking about it like this, we're a family, we all have jobs to do. Like it can become very, stressful.
And we can use that to manipulate an outcome that we want right now. And that is dangerous.
He also just used the verse. David said in Psalm 5:3, "Each morning I bring my request before God, and I wait expectantly." David didn't just pray and say, okay, I did my part. He prayed and then he waited with expectation. So that word expectation is not a, we need to wait with expectation. But when, you know, like that's what we need to be expectant of. What is God doing in something? And God's doing it. Like we're expectant of what God is doing. And so we just thought that was pretty
and
powerful.
And instead of responsibility,
responding
to God and waiting expectantly.
Yes.
And just how a shift in those words can bring about a lot of false identity measures for kids, young adults, adults our age, just living up to man's expectation and falling in the trap of being responsible to man. And that was huge to us.
Right. Well, we would encourage you to go back and listen to that because it was shared so much more clearly, I think. But just to make those comments, I do have, it says, live a life of responding to what God invites me into and expectant of what the Lord is going to do. So that was the point of that. But each week we like to leave our listeners with something. And this week we'd like to leave you with a challenge. And that is just, how do you view responsibility and expectation? Maybe just take some time this week to think about those words and the expectations that maybe you feel people put on you, and what have you put on others, and how does that relate to God's expectation and his love for us. And really, yeah. that's where we wanted you to go with. God loves his children. And, you know, we don't come into this Christian faith and become a Christian or a follower of Christ, and then God dumps responsibilities on us and says, right. now you got to go do. That's not how it works. We become Christians. We love the Lord. Therefore, what do we get to do to serve him and be a part of the bigger picture? So we love you guys. And until next time,
keep walking.
Rooted Studio.